things. Didn't know all of it. And we're going to actually talk about this lady today that they were just singing about. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. I hope that when we get to heaven someday, we're able to visit with these people we read about in the Bible. And one of the ones I'd like to talk to is this lady named Mary. Be fascinated to talk to her and get the whole story of what happened there. That nothing is impossible with God. It's Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Would you stand as we read God's word this morning? It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Lord, thank you so much for your word, for this amazing story. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All throughout Scripture, even from going back to Genesis chapter 3, there's prophecies that have led forward to this point of time when God is going to come to earth and become one of us. The Son of God, born on earth. And so the time is right, God sent his angel Gabriel, a messenger of God, to deliver this message to this little gal in Nazareth named Mary. Let's talk about Gabriel for just a minute. Gabriel was chosen to be the messenger of God. We don't know a lot about angels. We know a little bit about angels. We don't know a ton about angels. We know that they're created by God. They're spiritual beings that live in the supernatural world. You usually don't see angels. They're invisible to us, but they're very real. Sometimes they show up, and when they show up, it's always a big deal. When they show up, it's something significant is happening when angels make themselves visible. There are millions of them. If you read in the scripture in the book of Revelation, you see one picture where there's 100 million angels gathered together in one scene. We don't know very many of them by name. The only names are given to us to Michael, who is a great and powerful angel, and an angel named Gabriel. Gabriel shows up three times in the scripture. He shows up in the Old Testament giving a prophecy to Daniel, the prophet Daniel. This is hundreds of years before the time we're reading about. Then he shows up to appear to a priest named Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, to tell him they would have a son. And then later, he appears to this girl named Mary, in a town of Nazareth, with a surprising message from God. Remember, angels are messengers. They don't make up their own messages. They deliver what God tells them to deliver. And God is sending a message to Mary through this angel, Gabriel. I don't know. It doesn't tell us, but I kind of imagine Gabriel was pretty pumped about this assignment. Don't you think? After all the years and years and years of waiting and all the prophecies going to the town, now it's time. The Savior's going to come. I think Gabriel had a big smile on his face when he rushed off to find Mary and deliver this message. And we see in the story that God chose Mary to be his servant. When you think about Mary, you need to think about a young teenager. In that day, in that culture, girls got married young. So we're talking about an eighth or ninth grader, okay? Young. The father would arrange a marriage for the girl. He would find the right man, and he would announce, here's your husband. they would enter into a period where they were engaged. about a 12-month period where they were engaged. They would be considered to be husband and wife, even though they really did not live together yet. She would still live with her father and mother. He would get everything ready. In a year, they'd have a ceremony, and they would be officially married, and she would go and start living with her husband. So there's where we find Mary in this situation. She had her life planned out. She's just a normal girl in a town called Nazareth, and going to get married and settle down and have a family, and her life is about to be blown out of the water as far as her expectations of what she thought her life was going to be like. She had it all planned out, right? But God came in, interrupted those plans. She lived in a place called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is not really important in that day. It's about 70 miles from Jerusalem, about 20 miles from the coastline. If you go up to Mount Carmel, you can see Nazareth across the valley. It's a town there nestled in the hill right there, and that's where she lived. It wasn't considered an important town then, and it's not really a very important town today. It's there, but it's not very important. In that day, it was considered to be unclean because there was so many Gentiles that lived there, especially a lot of the Romans. Roman soldiers were stationed there. It was considered to be an unclean place. So God shows up to choose this Mary to be his servant from an out-of-the-way, unimportant little village called Nazareth. God chose Mary to receive his favor. The first words that the angel said to Mary was, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Highly favored. Now, do you ever wonder why God chose Mary? I mean, there would be hundreds of young girls in that village, maybe. I don't know how big it was then. Why Mary? And we don't really know for sure. Was she the purest in the village? Did she win the Miss Nazareth contest? Was she the smartest? We don't know who she was at all, anything about her, really. And I think there's a reason why we don't know anything about her, because that's not why God chose her. She is a recipient of God's favor. And that means that's a good definition of grace. In other words, God chose her because of his grace, not because of who she was in a particular way. God, the way God chooses all of us. You know, the greeting to Mary is a greeting that God gives all of us. You're highly favored. God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. We're highly favored. Mary is a good example to us, I think, especially in her humility. And it's great to be humble. God responds to humility. The angel told Mary not to be afraid. You're highly favored. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. Now, she had a lot of reasons to be afraid. It's interesting. It's probably the first thing that they teach angels to say when they have interaction with humans. Don't be afraid. Because every time you see in the scripture, angel shows up, the human is scared. Because they're, I've never seen one, but they're impressive spiritual beings. And the people are afraid in their presence, so don't be afraid. And she had a lot of reasons to be afraid. Think, what would the family do with her when she announced that she's pregnant and she's not married? What's the community going to do? Through Jesus' life, she'd need to remember those words, "Do not be afraid," when we saw her son Jesus nailed to a cross. She'd need to remember those words, "Don't be afraid." When she saw him raised back from the dead, she would remember those words, "Don't be afraid." That's one of the great messages of Christmas right there. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. Well, let's look at this announcement that the angel gave. Remember the announcement? The angel is only saying what God told him to say. Jesus will be Mary's son. Mary just found out she's giving birth to a son. Now, she probably thought someday she would give birth to a son. You know, she's going to get married and have kids, and, you know, that's the way it works out. But not now. She wasn't married. She'd never been with a man, so she couldn't have a baby. But the angel told her, "You will have a baby. It'll be a boy. I'm going to name him Jesus." This is no ordinary baby, you see. God coming to earth. In John's gospel, read these words, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That's what's happening here. God is going to come down and become one of us. The miracle of the incarnation, where God would become human. Mary would be the real mother of Jesus. God would do a miracle in her, and she would become pregnant. The baby would develop like all babies do in the womb of its mother for about 9 months. The baby would be delivered like all babies are, with great pain and effort. It would be a real pregnancy, a real birth, and a real human baby would be born. The umbilical cord would be cut. The baby would be cleaned up and begin to nurse at his mother's breast, like all babies do. Jesus would truly become one of us, just like us. He had a mother named Mary. Mary was also given more information. This is startling enough. She found out that Jesus will be God's son. He said he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Most High is a common Old Testament name for God. Mary just found out the son she's going to give birth is going to be God. You see, the son born to Mary is going to be fully human, but also fully divine. Fully man, fully God, the God-man. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, they said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." God come to earth. God and man. You can't ignore either part of his nature. He is fully God and he is fully man in one person. She also found out that this Jesus will reign on the throne of David. Think about all this young girl's taking in here. She's going to have a son, even though she's a virgin. He's going to be the Son of God. Now she found out she's going to be the king. He's going to be the king. God gave King David a promise thousands of years before this that one of his descendants would rule on the throne forever. David had a lot of descendants. If you read the Old Testament, a lot of people followed in David's pathway. A lot of kings. None of them were that king. Everyone pointed forward to this future king that was coming. Had to be a descendant of David. So Joseph was a descendant of David, who would be the husband of Mary at some point and would help raise Jesus. All this would be fulfilled through the birth of this baby that Mary would deliver. 2,000 years had passed, and now it's time. Mary found out the king's going to be born. Imagine how Mary felt when the wise men showed up at their place to worship, and they knelt down to worship her son and gave him gifts that would be gifts for a king. He would reign on the throne of David. He would also rule his kingdom forever. It's an eternal kingdom, not just a temporary kingdom, eternal kingdom. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will surpass any earthly kingdom. It can never be destroyed. It can never be stopped. Mary would be a part of that kingdom. By faith in Jesus Christ, she would be a part of her own son's kingdom. All who believe in Jesus are part of this kingdom, and he'll rule it forever. Now think about Mary for a minute. She's taken in a lot, right, as a young teenager. And so she asks the question, how will this be since I'm a virgin? I don't think she's doubting God here. She's just asking a question. This doesn't make sense. You know, how is this going to work, you know? When Gabriel went to Zechariah and told him he was going to have a son, even though he was too old and his wife was too old, he doubted and he said, how can I be sure of this? And so he didn't talk for 9 months. He was made mute. He couldn't talk until the baby was born. Mary's not doubting, I don't think. She's questioning. She knows where babies come from. She hasn't been with a man. She knows that she can't have a baby. How is she going to have a baby? It's also really interesting to remember that the one who wrote this gospel is Luke, who is a medical doctor. He knows where babies come from. Yet three times he mentions in this passage that she was a virgin. It's a miracle. God gives Mary a little bit more explanation. That God is going to create Jesus within Mary. What the angel says is the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now there's some mystery in that explanation, we admit. But what it's saying is God is going to come to earth in a miraculous way through the virgin birth. It will be the miracle that was predicted hundreds of years before through the prophet Isaiah. Roughly 600 years, 700 years before this, It says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The virgin birth is important. And I don't think we should struggle over this if you have faith, because if we believe God created the world, which he did with the spoken word, surely he could create in Mary Jesus, his son. The virgin birth. Jesus will come as the Holy One. Part of the message the angel says that this one that's going to be born will be the Holy One. When Jesus was born, he was born holy. He lived his life holy. He is the only, one and only perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Let's say somebody else would volunteer and say, okay, I'll be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. You would be disqualified because you sinned. Jesus never sinned. He was holy. He came as holy and he lived holy life. The only one to live a completely perfect life. The scripture says, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. He was holy, perfectly holy. So only he can be the sacrifice for our sins. No one else. That's why he was born holy and he lived holy, so that you and I can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son. We can have our sins forgiven. We can have the gift of eternal life and know that we will live forever with him. Jesus came to do that for us. He came as the Holy One. Jesus came as the Son of God. It says he will be called the Son of God. Remember when Jesus was being baptized, God spoke from heaven and said, this is my son, you are my son. With him I'm well pleased, with you I'm well pleased. The Son of God. God the Father sent his son to this earth. You know the scripture, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved us so much that he sent his son to this earth, so that we could have eternal life and not perish, but live forever with him. Well, Mary in this story, she's going to need a little bit more help with this, I think. She's a person of faith, but he gives her some encouragement. The angel lets her in on a secret to try to encourage her. She was told that Mary, that the miracle of Elizabeth's baby. Now, Elizabeth is a relative of Mary, and the angel told her that this woman who couldn't have kids, it was impossible for her to have kids, is going to have a child in her old age, and she's in her 6 months. She's 6 months along in this pregnancy. So Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. We know that from the scripture. And when, you know what she finds when she finds Elizabeth? A woman that's pregnant 6 months, just like God said. And it's amazing, when Elizabeth saw her, well, you know what she said? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She's confirming what the angel said to Mary. Mary would actually spend 3 months with Elizabeth. And her faith would be built up, and she would believe, because God did this for her, God will do what he promised to her as well. Mary was also told that nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. What was happening to Mary was impossible from a human standpoint. The angel said, nothing's impossible to God. It's a lesson that all the heroes of the faith in the Bible had to learn. Nothing's impossible with God, and we need to trust him ahead of time with that. Think about the heroes of the Bible. Think about Noah, you know, with the building this huge ark, and then the earth floods, and he gets in the ark, and his family's saved, and he's floating out on the water, and he's thinking, nothing's impossible with God. Think about Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, and they get down to the Red Sea, and they're blocked. The army's coming behind them. The Red Sea's in front of them. They're trapped, and God parts the Red Sea, and they escape to freedom. And Moses learns nothing's impossible with God. Think about Joshua marching around the city of Jericho. There's no way in. It's a fortified city. Impossible, really. And the walls fall down. And he knows that nothing's impossible with God. Think about David facing that giant Goliath and killing him with a little stone and a sling. And he realizes nothing's impossible with God. Or Elijah on Mount Carmel, the battle with the prophets of Baal, and a fire from heaven comes down. And Elijah realizes nothing's impossible with God. All these people had to learn nothing is impossible with God. They believed it before it happened. One of the great messages of Christmas is this message right here. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. We need to apply that to our own lives, our own situation. Nothing is impossible with God. Well, let's look at Mary's response to this. I mean, it's an amazing, everything that she's been told is just mind-boggling. And Mary believed the word of God. Mary heard what was said. She heard what was said. She knew that she had a decision. She needed to decide whether she was going to believe or not. And she chose to believe the word of God. Hebrews says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. So if you say, I'll believe when I see it, that's not faith. You need to believe before you see it. That's what Mary had to do. That's what all the heroes of the Bible had to do. They believed ahead of time. It's not faith if you believe afterwards. It's faith when you see it, before you see it. Mary believed the word of God. And Mary chose to be a servant of God. She said, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. God chose her, but she needed to volunteer. She needed to say, yes, I am the Lord's servant. It's a question of obedience. Maybe you heard on the news this week, I thought it was kind of funny and silly at the same time. Some psychologist back east made the national news, I don't know how he made the national news with a statement basically saying that God had taken advantage of Mary. And I thought, well, at least he believes in the virgin birth, you know. But he didn't read the story, did he? He didn't read the gospel. She said, I am the Lord's servant. God didn't take advantage of Mary. She was willing. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Mary surrendered to the will of God. She said, may it be to me as you have said. She surrendered to God's will. With this surrender, she would face great risk. What would happen to her? Would people believe her story? Would her parents believe it when the teenager comes home and says, guess what, Mom and Dad? Would her future husband believe? What would the people in the community do to her? What, would she live her whole life under the shadow of doubt and suspicion? Many, many, many questions, like was sung earlier, Mary, did you know? There's a lot of things she didn't know, and she wanted to know. But she chose to surrender to the will of God. I think she's one of the great examples in the scripture to us of a surrendered life. She surrendered to God. May it be to me as you say. 2,000 years later, my friends, God is still looking for people who will say, Lord, may your will be done. May your will be done. May it be to me as you have said. There's a great scripture in Romans 12:1 that says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Now, that wasn't originally written about Mary, but it certainly applies to Mary because she offered herself to God as a living sacrifice. I'm yours. Her life will be absolutely turned upside down. Think about all that she went through, raising Jesus, seeing him going off in his ministry. And apparently from the scripture, sometimes she followed him in his ministry sometimes. And then she would see him be rejected and condemned, and even though he's innocent, he would be condemned to die and nailed to a cross. She saw all that. She was there at the cross when Jesus, her son, died. She saw his body put in a grave, but she also saw him raised back to life again. She submitted to this amazing story that she gets to be a part of, the story of God, the will of God. She surrendered to the will of God. And I think that's a great message for us this Christmas. Surrender to the will of God. May we, like Mary, say, Lord, may your will be done in my life. May you use me in whatever way you see best. I'll be your servant. And God will bless and use us if we're available and willing, as Mary was. We're going to sing a song together in closing this morning that I think kind of talks about that. Could it be a song that Mary could have sung? The song says, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way." That's what Mary told Jesus, told God, "Have your own way." Let it be our prayer to the Lord. Let it be your will be done, Lord. Let's sing this as a song of worship to the Lord. If you need to pray about anything today, the altar is a place where you can come and pray. If there's something on your heart that you need